Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Father, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us so that the words that are spoken this evening, Father, will be yours and not mine. And we ask you now, Father, take this service, do with it as you wish. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, we talked quite a bit this morning about faith. And I'm going to ask everybody listening to me tonight, how's your faith? Is it strong? Is it going to get you into the kingdom of God? You know, we have two good examples, real good examples, in the scripture. One of them was a young lady. Very young lady. That was Mary. And the other one is the one that is supposed to be the father of all of us that walk by faith. That's Abraham. What if God asks something of you that would be as hard as what he had asked of them? Mary, he sent an angel to talk to her and told her that she was going to have a son. The only question she asked him was, how can that be since I know not a man? And he told her the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that child would be the Son of God. But when you stop and think about the time that she was living in, for her to be pregnant and unmarried could have meant death. Because back then, young maidens had got that way were usually stoned to death. But you know how she answered him? She said, let it be unto me according to what you said. That's how much faith she had. But if he was asking something of you that was going to cause a hard decision or maybe even cost you your life, how would you answer him about that? Or as God talking to Abraham. He told Abraham, he said, take your son. That's the son God gave him. The son that was promised to him, that was supposed to be the seed to inherit everything that Abraham had and be over nations. He told him, he said, take your son and go to where I'll show you and offer him as a sacrifice to me. What if God asked you something like that? How much faith would you really have that you'd be willing to take one of your family members and offer them up, kill them as a sacrifice? Abraham didn't argue about it. He got all the stuff he would need, took his son, and they headed out. Of course, his son was a young man by then. And they headed out to the mountain. They get right to the spot to where God showed him to go. Now, going up that mountain, Abraham had his son carry the firewood up that mountain. He had his son carry his own firewood up the mountain that he would be burnt by. But they got up there. He built his altar, got everything ready, bound his son, laid him on the altar, drawed back with a knife to kill him. God stopped it. Told him not to harm his son. God had a lamb caught in the bushes. Told him to take that lamb and make his offering. But he was right ready to do exactly what God told him to do. There were several reasons. For one, just before they left, when they was gathering up the stuff he needed, some that worked for him that was helping him get it, he told me, he said, well, we got to go to the mountain there. He said, for prayer with God, and then we'll be back. Knowing he's supposed to sacrifice his sons, but he told him, says, we'll be back. Because you see, he knew that even though he would do what God told him to do and kill his son, God could raise him up again. And he figured that's exactly what was going to happen because God had told him that he was going to be heir. It takes a lot of faith. But you know, the spot that God sent him to offer up Isaac, was the exact spot where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified. And just like Isaac carried his own firewood up that hill to be sacrificed, Jesus carried his cross most of the way up that hill. He had to have a little help before he got all the way up. But that's the kind of faith it's going to take for us to make heaven our home in this day and time, because things are getting bad. And you're either going to be committed to that extent unto God, or you're not going to make heaven your home. It's just that simple. Now, God has gave us everything we need. There is nothing that we need that God has not already given to us. Most just don't look for it. And right now, the biggest majority don't even want to look for it. And they'll laugh at you. They'll mock you when they see you standing strong like that. That's the reason it's so hard to get them in church today. Now, if you'll just come in and tell stories, make up stories that don't step on their toes or cause them to quit doing things they want to do, but will make them have to think and change their lives, they don't want no part of it. Better than that, you can build a pretty good sized church if you'll just let them go ahead and do whatever they want to do. And that's what most of our churches are doing. They're just letting them go. Not many of our denominational churches today are even teaching anything about the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. They don't teach it. They don't even talk about it, most of them. Now, we got a few that will talk about him every once in a while, but they'll talk about him like he was here for a while, but he's gone now, because when the apostles all died, that all went away. No, that was just the beginning of it. But tonight, in our scripture, where I'm going to be coming to you from, when I get there, will be 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I got one more thing to share with you. It's a daily reading in my little book, and it's called The Day of the Lord. It says the phrase Day of the Lord appears 31 times in Scripture, generally referring to a time of God's judgment on certain people or on the whole earth. The last two occurrences are in 1 Thessalonians 5:2 and 2 Peter 3, verse 10, both of which are found in today's Bible reading. According to the first of these verses, the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, as a thief in the night. The second verse says that it will be a day of final destruction. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. None of us know just how everything will be on that day of the Lord, but as Christians we know that we will be safe in the Lord's hands at that time. This whole world is now full of violence and corruption. But on that day, God will bring judgment on all sin. Then he will establish new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We want to be ready for the day of the Lord. For each one of us, that day will come when our time on earth is over. Maybe that will happen when we die, or maybe the Lord will return for his own before we die. No matter how long we live on earth, whether 20 years or 100 years, one day will be our last day. If we look back and see that we have not used our time wisely, we can repent and live our remaining days in service for him. In any case, let's be sure we prepare for the day of the Lord. And that's the scripture reading that was given in the little book for this day. But we're going to get into some good scripture here now. Some good things. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's not a long chapter. There's only 23 verses to it. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollo? Oh, wait a minute. Let's back up and get to the first verse. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollo, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. Now let us back up here and begin to take a good look at this scripture to see what it's telling us. Because there's one thing we do need. We all need to spend more time in God's word, because we need his word in our heart, or we're not going to make it out of this world rightly. And it is by knowing his word that guides you and I and lets us know how we are to walk through this life while we are here on this earth. A lot of people don't believe that. They'll tell you, oh, you know, you don't even have to go to church. Don't let them kid you. You wouldn't have to if you'd live right. But if you can't go to church, what makes you think you're going to live right outside the church? Because when we come together to share with each other God's word. And we are here to help each other because we are to love one another. Regardless of the difference between us or anything, we're still to love each other. Yes, we've got divisions out here in the world where man built these walls. They don't call them walls. They call them denominations. But they built walls that has caused divisions among mankind. And the Bible tells us that's not to be. We're not supposed to be building walls to cause division. That's in the Word of God. You see, God has told us everything you and I need in order to make heaven our home. But most don't listen. All they'll hear, if they go to church, they hear with their ear, but it goes in this ear and comes out this one. Nothing in between to stop it from to get and to understand anything. So they believe lies, just like they've been doing about this covert business. And they're still listening. I was watching a pretty good-sized church today on the television. The ones that was there, all sitting in there with a mask on. How much trust is that? You can't go to church without a mask? You don't have much trust in Jesus, do you? You're not trusting him to keep everything away from you. And you're sure not living Psalms 91. Psalms 91 tells us, when we walk with him and we've got our faith in him, they can be 1,000 fall on my left hand and 10,000 on my right hand, but that plague cannot come near me nor my dwelling. So why do I need to walk in fear? I don't. There's only, right now, let's see, two places I go to where I have to wear a mask. That's because they won't let me in them. One is to get a haircut, and that don't make no sense. You got to wear a mask to get in the door. You get in a chair and they take the mask off so they can cut your hair. Made a lot of sense, don't it? The other one is the nursing home. I have to wear a mask to get in there. But that's the only two places I wear one. Because I depend on him. And he will take care of us if, though we've got to walk by faith. And when we take a look at this scripture we've just read, Paul starts out here at this first verse. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Because, you see, they wasn't listening that good either. They wasn't growing in the word as they should have. That's why Paul is worried about them, why he's writing to this church at Corinth, this first letter. And they was beginning to have divisions. We don't need these divisions. We need these walls tore down. And we all need to come together in unity and all teach the Word of God as it is written, associate with each other, love each other, and be there for each other, because there's only one church, and that's His church. I don't care what kind of name you want to put out in the front of it. But with the early churches, the name of their church was the community where it was at. That's it, like this church, this Corinthian church. It was there at Corinth. Ephesians was at Ephesus. Galatians was at Galatia. You see, they just used the name of the community where the church was. So it don't matter what name you'll put out there, but we all need to be teaching the same thing, the Word of God as it is written. Not what man wants to make it into. Take it and take a verse here and a verse there and a verse over here and a verse there and twist and turn it to make it say what they want it to say. And that's exactly what they do. And when they get done, they've taught an awful lot that's against the Word. And this is what Paul's talking about here. Now, you see, what was giving Paul trouble was that bunch of Judaizers that was following him from place to place and telling him, well, you know, you can listen to some of the things Paul's teaching you and you'd be all right, but you've got to be circumcised. Anything to get them back under the law and away from Jesus. That's what they was trying to do. And this is what Paul's talking about. Today, it's not so much as bringing us back under the law, which actually they're doing. They just don't know they're doing it. That's not why they're doing it. But that's exactly what they've done. You take a church that is teaching contrary to God's word, and they're leading you right back under the law. And we're told, if you obey in one thing, you've got to obey it all. They couldn't keep it, so why? And what would make you and I think we could keep it? No. They had too much going on. There were too many ceremonies and all going on for them to keep it. That's why Christ came into the world. He came to fulfill that law. And he did with his death and his resurrection. He bought and paid for you and I. And he paid a terrible price. And he done that when we wasn't worth it. Because I don't care who you are that is listening to me today. There was a time in your life you had a lot of sin in it, which made you unworthy. But he died for you just the same. Because you see, he does love you. He loves that sinner. He don't want to see him lost. And that's why he made a way for him to make heaven his home. But the sinner just walks contrary to him. And won't listen. In verse 2 he says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. They still have not grown to the point to where he can really get in to teaching them the truth of God's word and take them into the depth of it. He's going to tell them the truth, but he just can't get them in to the very depth of it, and he can't get them in to the power part of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another thing that is hard to do today, is to get the power of God into the church, because most don't believe in it. Your church-going people don't believe in it. Oh, yes, they do. No, they don't. You's probably one this morning that don't believe in it. When it comes to actually the Holy Spirit, they don't believe in it. Because I think I know where you is. Oh, they have a lot of good words. They have pretty speeches. They're good speakers. And they use them expensive school words, but they're teaching tradition and man-made rules and regulations, not God's. And that's what Paul's warning them about here. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? But today we call it walking in the ways of the world. We put too much trust in things of the world out here, and we let it take us away from the Lord Jesus Christ by what's going on out in the world. We need to come out of the world. Come out of it. And make that total commitment. Without a total commitment unto God, you're not going to make heaven your home. And see, that's something else that's not being taught in most places, a total commitment. Well, I can't do that now. I've got a big family, and my family takes up a lot of my time, and my work takes up a lot of my time. Yeah, you work and your family is taking you away from the Lord Jesus Christ and going to cause you to go to hell. It's just that simple. They don't want to hear that. I can take that message into one of those places, and they'd be looking for the first window they could throw me out. And I'd be let know in no uncertain terms, you ain't welcome here to preach this kind of message. I tell you, you can't live your life with sin in it. You can't go out here and commit adultery. You can't go out here and commit fornication. You can't have strife and envy and divisions in your life and make heaven your home. I just read that to you there in God's word. But that's exactly what they're doing. Got another church here close. I passed it on my way to Brandenburg this morning when I left here. The third week in a row, they haven't had a service. And you know why they haven't had one? Because his wife is sick. So he won't come and preach. 3 weeks now. He's got family members that could sit with her if somebody has to sit with her. He's supposed to be a minister of the gospel. 3 weeks they've had no service. What's the rest of his church family doing? They're not going to go anywhere else, I'll tell you that. I know I've been there.
She died, she's just going to quit?
I don't know.
Basically quit now?
Well, see, she was in the hospital.
Yeah.
She's well enough for them to send her home.
We can still preach and then go back and see her.
Yeah. And well, yeah, but I'm saying she's at home. She's well enough. The hospital sent her home. Just go ahead and complete.
Yeah, probably she's going to be gone for a week.
No. And plus, they've got grown adult children that live right there by them. That's always at their house anyway. Any one of them could stay. But then on top of that, you see, he's got three living wives and she's got two living husbands. See how one thing leads to another? They're living their pardon. They're living their lives in adultery to begin with. So they're not walking in the Spirit to start with. He don't really need to be there. He needs to turn that church loose and let somebody take that church that will take it and put the Lord in it. But he ain't going to. And they're not real sure when he will be able to have services. But it's been 3 weeks now. They don't have him this coming, this next Sunday. And he only has him on Sunday morning. That's all he has. So being gone an hour and a half from home, not going to hurt anything. And he'd be right back home again after services. But they just don't do it. He's talking here. He says, for one saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollo. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Now, he goes on to tell us here, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see, just because we are called pastors, that don't make us no better than no one else. It can get us in more trouble than a lot of people, but it don't make us no better. Could make you worse, depending on how you live your life. Because regardless of how I teach and how hard I teach, I'm not the one that gives the increase. It takes the Lord God to do that. He's the only one who can give the increase. Now I help because they'll speak through me, maybe to lead somebody to the altar, but it took his work to give them salvation. I can't do that. I can tell them what they need to do. I can even tell them how. But I can't. I'm not the one that can give them that increase. Only God can. Now, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And as we were talking this morning, all that will go to the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and for salvation. He's got to work for you right then. He's got to work for you. Now, you've got a lot of learning to do because you're new, just as he was talking about in the first part of this chapter. He was feeding them like feeding babies. In other words, he wasn't giving them the real strong stuff, but he was feeding them truth, but he was giving it to them so they could grow. Things they could accept and grow until they would grow to the point to where they could receive the truth of God's word. Now, but comes a time to where our labor is what will determine our reward when we get to heaven. Did you do the work that God had for you to do? A lot of people will go and they'll confess their sins and they'll do it sincerely. They're doing it honestly. But then they never grow. And they wind up, instead of going on, falling back and getting away from the word instead. But once you begin to grow and you find out what God has got for you to do, then as you do what he has for you, you are making awards or rewards laid up in heaven for you when you get there. He tells you there in that 8th verse, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You see, I can't get it for you. You can't get it for me. We have to do it by our own labor, doing the work that God has called us to do. For we are laborers together with God. You see, that's why we spend time in his word and time in prayer, is to find out what he has for us. We should never get out of bed of the morning until we have asked him, Lord, what have you got for me today?
Yeah.
He'll answer you. He'll let you know. If you're sincere and you're walking in the Spirit with him, he'll talk to you. He'll let you know what he's got for you. Because you are working with him. That's like with me. I have to work with him. I work with the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit. And I have to work with it. Because for one, I ain't smart enough to stand up here and preach. On my own, I couldn't do it. I have to have him. I have to have that Holy Spirit to guide me and to give me words to speak and to take me in to the mysteries of the Scripture. Because I sure can't do it on my own. And he tells us there in that 9th verse, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Because you see, he lives in you. This flesh is just a house. This flesh ain't going to heaven. This flesh is going to go back to dirt. That spirit that's in this body, that's why they either go to heaven or hell. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Well, Paul's right there. Paul has laid out the foundation for us. And there's been many, many, many men come along and continue building on this foundation that Paul laid. Because we preach from his word that the Holy Spirit gave him to record. And another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. You better be careful how you're building on his foundation. It better be the right way and the right thing. And so many are not doing it.
No.
Now today, as he was talking earlier about them saying, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul, some was Cephas. Today, instead of us saying that, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Church of God, I'm non-denominational. See what they've done to it? Instead of using a man's name and claiming to be after men, they're claiming to be after a denomination. That denomination ain't going to get them into heaven. In fact, most of those denominations keep you out of heaven. And that's a fact. You say, oh, now, how do you know that? Been around a while, just a little while. Come September the 9th, I've been around 89 years. And I've preached in almost all of those churches. I've preached in Nazarene Church. I've preached in Baptist churches. Different Baptist churches even. I've preached in the Pentecostal churches. I've preached in the white churches. I've preached in the black churches. And a lot of them I'm not welcome back to either. I'll tell you that right now. Because they want no part of the truth of God's word. Now that don't mean we don't talk to them, because we should. We need to talk with them, but we can't really affiliate with them, because if we do, sooner or later they'll start tearing you down and taking you away from what you really believe in. I know. Like I said, I've been there, been down that road. And I know how it can work. I know how hard it's been. I was raised all the way through my teen years in a Baptist church. Right up here on Pendleton Road. Do you know where that's at? South Jefferson Baptist Church. D.E. Jones was pastor. He was there 30-some years. That was at that time. And I'd just come back from the service. And he was the cause I left. come back from overseas. I'm still in the Army. I was home on leave. I was going to go to church. I was talking to him at the church. He said, "You're coming Sunday, aren't you?" And I told him, I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll be there." He said, "Well, wear your uniform." He said, "You know, most of us, you left so quick, none of us has ever seen you in uniform. Wear your uniform." I told him, I said, "I'm trying to get out of it. But I'll wear it." And I did. I put it on. Wore it. Service is over. We're standing out front. They're on the stoop talking. This sergeant come out with his wife and two little boys. Little boys dressed in nice jeans, little white shirts, just clean and all they could be. Sergeant in a full dress uniform, just like I was. Only he hadn't been overseas yet. He was still been stationed doing a lot of training. D.E. stopped him. Said, "Sarge, you know, if them clothes you little boys have got on there, and that uniform's all you got to wear at church, I'd just assume you'd go somewhere else." I turned, started down the steps. He said, "See you tonight, Katie." I said, "No, you won't." He said, "Oh, you won't be here tonight?" I told him, I said, "I won't be back, period. This uniform I got is just like his, except he ain't got the junk on his I got on mine." I never went back. Now, verse 11. "For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You see, that's the foundation we all have to build on and work on, is the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no other way into heaven. No other way. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble." Oh boy. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." This fire he's talking about here is the fire of Almighty God that will try all of our work. What is our work built on? Is it built on the faith and on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it built on fairy tales, myths, and things of this world out here? "If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward." There we go again. Now, if you have really and truly received salvation, and you haven't done the work, or you've been slack in doing your work, you may not get a reward when you get to heaven, but neither will you be kicked out of heaven. You'll still be saved, but you're going to be there. And there's probably going to be a lot of people making fun of you because you're there without a reward because you haven't done everything that God told you to do. You see, that's what we all need our rewards. "If any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, if you haven't went back into sin, you still have your salvation, but you will not receive any reward if you've not done the work that God has called upon you to do. "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And see, most of us never really think about that. God is never far away from you because he's everywhere. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. He's everywhere. And he lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
We are his dwelling place. Other places we're called a temple. We're his temple. In fact, the next verse, really. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So if you don't keep that temple right, keep it clean, shame on you. You're going to miss out. God's going to deal with you, and you ain't going to like it. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Don't think of yourself as being so smart and so wise, because all we have is what God has given us. He gave us his word. He gave us his son. He gave us his spirit. That's what makes us what we are. I've got nothing to be puffed up about as far as myself. I can't be out here bragging about me. If I'm going out here and brag, I have to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is what gives me life. He's what gives me strength. And he's sure the one that gives me eternal life. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You see, he knows even our thoughts. So watch even what you think about. Or what you do about that thought. Satan will come at you with some thoughts that you can't entertain.
That's for sure.
Huh?
So that's for sure.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to come try to give you some thoughts you got no business with at all. You just tell him, you take them and go. They ain't part of me. And you don't take them. Because you see, he can't stand against the name of Jesus. You've been given the authority to use that name. If you are a born-again child of God, you got the authority to use Jesus' name. You got the authority to tell Satan, Satan, get away and leave me alone. Get out of my house. And do it in Jesus' name. And he's got to go. It don't mean he won't be back, because he will. At a later time. And with something else. Now. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. We don't need to be glorying in anything in this world out here. Because everything you and I really need, especially things that we need that's good for us, will come from God. We don't need to get it from this world. And if say something comes up and gets in your mind about doing something out here in this world, take it to the Lord first and ask him, Father, what should I do about this? What is right for me, Lord? Now he'll tell you, and he'll give you the right guidance. The only place you can get it. We'll end with this next one. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. You see, he ended up by telling you and I the order of things. Christ is the head of you and I, and the Father is the head of Christ. And now we have the Holy Spirit within us to give us the guidance and all that we need. You see, we don't have to go far to talk to God because he's always there. He's always in us, right there with us. So we don't have to go nowhere to get him. Just get someplace where it's quiet and it can be just you and him. Get yourself humble and sit down and talk with him. He'll talk to you. He may guide you into some scripture to do it even. He talks to you in a lot of ways, in a lot of different ways. But that's the reason I was telling them this morning, I'm going to be going on with the change of this church. God knows what he's got planned for it, for this church. I don't. I'm just going with whatever he tells me to do. That's what I'm doing. He told me to change it, so I'm going to change it. I don't know how many evenings I'll be here by myself. But God knows what he wants. And he knows why. And he'll let me know little along at a time as I need to know. He'll give it to me. But you and I have got some work to do. Over this next week, Brother James, you told me you'd help me. And I went and got that stuff. I spent, I'll let everybody know, I spent $184.67. Got it laying right back there on that back pew. But then he gave me an extra one. I'm glad he did, but because I got something I can use it for. But he gave me an extra one. I got our rollers and our pans, and I got our primer paint also. And so I'll let the church know about that. Let everybody that's listening know. And if any of them wants to help us out, they can always write and send me a donation if they want to. And they can send it to K.D. Tony at 505 Newton Road, Gustin, Kentucky, 40142. And where I got it, the boy that was cutting it for me gave me a $20 bill and told me, he says, put this in your plate. So he gave me $20 for our plate. I'll be putting that in tomorrow. Because I've got to take my ties down and put it in. So I'll be putting his in there too tomorrow. And, you know, I've known them boys a long time. Their grandpa and their dad built that business. And then when they passed away, these boys inherited it. And they kept it going ever since. I've known them. I've known the boys ever since they come into the world. I worked there for their grandpa when I was 13 years old. I worked out there for a while for their grandpa. All right, let us go to prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share things with each other and to share your word, Father, and to be there for this community. Now help us along the way, Father. Give us the guidance and let us know, Father, what you want of this place. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we do pray for peace for them. But even more than that, we pray that Israel will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours has turned its back and walked so far away. No excuse whatsoever. But Father, help us to remove from office those that is against you, against your church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and against your people. And help us to replace them with ones that will work with us, Father, to get things back on the road that they should be on and to get our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list. As each name is mentioned, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, James Taylor, Dennis Lee, myself, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, and his wife, Tina. Brothers in Christ, Brandenburg. Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church. Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church. The pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And Father, not only lighthouses, but make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. Fill these churches, Father, with the Holy Spirit and the pastors. Fill them to overflowing, Father, so that they can lead these churches and keep them on the pathway of righteousness and in your word. Now, Father, my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Harun Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Now, Father, Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue and for David, for Palance Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, and for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them in a great and mighty way, Father, for they know that it was you and not mankind. Walk with us now, Father, throughout these coming days. Be with James and myself as we go about doing the work, Father, that we've got to do. Keep us and give us the guidance that we need, Father. Give us the health, strength, and the energy that we need. Be with us now, Father. Watch over us. Bring us all back together again come Thursday evening, Father. So, Father, we know that if we'll walk with you, you'll walk with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, all. And remember, we're going back on 6 p.m. for our evening services. So until Thursday evening, hold on to God's hand. He'll hold on to yours. Good night, all.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington. Going to call up in and sing a song that Christy Lane made famous way back when. I'm going to play a little 6-string for Jenny. I'm standing back of her. She sings One Day at a Time.
Each morning I wake up and I thank God for a new day of life. This is my prayer. It's called One Day at a Time.